Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for May 27th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from 2 Samuel 5, verses 4 and 5. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. David is the zenith of the Israelite kings. Although 2 Samuel 5, 4 and 5 gives the most basic outline of David's kingship, his impact on both Israel and on the Judeo-Christian paradigm can't be overstated. David is a vivid character, charismatic, emotional, heroic, and tragic. David is passionate, and almost no matter what he's doing, he's swinging for the fences. He's got a flair for the dramatic, from his victory over Goliath to his cutting off Saul's robe while Saul relieves himself in a cave, to dancing in his skivvies as the ark comes to Jerusalem, to his grief and mourning over Absalom's usurpation and death. David is a warrior and a poet and a king. He's also an adulterer, murderer, and trickster. David becomes the symbol of the good old days of Israel. His reign is messianic in the sense that he is the anointed of God working towards God's purposes. The prophets will point to the hope of another anointed king, the Messiah, that will follow in the footsteps of David. David is known as a man after God's own heart. This is all a bit puzzling. David, almost the roguish Robin Hood-esque figure, rising from obscurity through faithfulness and military conquest to become king. On the other hand, David the king abusing his power for sexual conquest at the expense and death of his faithful servant. David, who is passionately in love with God, but who is also passionately invested in his own ends and means and desires. For us, living so many years after these stories happened and were written down, it's perhaps too easy to be dismissive of Israel as they process David. They were too blinded by their devotion to David to see accurately. They claim David is God's number one fan, even as David's life certainly doesn't reflect holiness or pure devotion. Yet perhaps it's us that can't see because of our own filters and notions of holiness and dedication to God. David might not be the acme of personal piety or the Eagle Scout of personal holiness, but he is undoubtedly devoted, even as he misses the mark in consistently behaving well to being God's person. We shouldn't dismiss the storytellers as being blind. They told us everything we know about David and paint the whole portrait, warts and all. The storytellers don't give us a false and idyllic David, but rather the dynamic and passionate man who is tripped up by his foibles and passions, but still loves God fiercely and devotedly. We miss the point if we accuse the record of being so overly enamored with David that it misrepresents who David was or what his relationship with God was. Saul was undoubtedly a bad king. He didn't pay attention to what God directed him to do. He clung to power, and he was about his own glory and power. David, on the other hand, is a man after God's own heart. David, despite his numerous flaws and bad choices, is always quick to return to God's intention. His relationship with God is raw, passionate, intimate, and authentic. He's quick to make it right with God and to remember his place before God, even if he doesn't always remember that in the moment. The contrast between Saul and David is that David is centered on God, while Saul is not. David is the exemplary king because he recognizes himself as dependent on God's leadership. Somehow over the years we have come to think of someone after God's own heart as someone who gets it right every time. Yet this is not the biblical witness. The challenge of who David is confronts our sense of piety and holiness. If we believe that David, who is flawed, or perhaps even more flawed than we are, is a man after God's own heart, a man who exemplifies what God is looking for in human devotion, we have to change our definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness is not about batting 1,000, but about the orientation of our hearts and the posture of our beings. This is not an excuse for bad behavior. David certainly pays the consequences of his actions. But the call to the center of what faithful relationship looks like is clear, passionately and fiercely devoting ourselves to be attentive and dependent on what God is doing. Some questions for today. Would you consider yourself a person after God's own heart? Why or why not? How does it change your thinking to consider that moral purity might not be the same as devotion to God? How would you define what it means to be devoted to God?